This is Pat Bodie, host of 900 Views. This podcast was recorded prior to George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter protests sweeping the country. I'm deeply empathetic to this cause and saddened by the pain felt by so many. I hope all of us will work hard for true justice and an end to centuries of racism in this country. Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie. And as I remain largely working from home only, I have with me on the line Tibi Kelcea of Ames. Born in Romania and here via Bucharest, New York, Pittsburgh, Canada, Nashville, Brazil, just to name a few. So you might be wondering why Ames, especially for a guy that holds a PhD in computer science, it's interesting that he came here following his wife, who is teaching at Iowa State University. Now, Tibi has received several awards, fellowships, and patents in the field of electronic and digital design. Some of his art captures features of traditional printmaking and releases them into the digital world for work exploring relationships of old and new technologies, automation and hand labor, and issues of consumption. And that's just one of his art series, the PCB drawing series. PCB stands for Printed Circuit Board. His artwork series come with overarching titles like Equations, Jacquard Routing. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes. Jacquard.
Okay. And Circuit Floor Plans. We'll find out more about this, I trust. But Tibi also works directly in community building, playing a key role in the upcoming Art Week. Yes, the Arts Festival may have been postponed in downtown Des Moines, but several independent artists, including Tibi, spearheaded by past guest Rachel Boozy of Art Beacon fame, have been working to bring us a part virtual, part physically distanced series of Art Week activities June 19th through the 26th. We're recording this before all the plans have been figured out, but we do know that Tibi's piece, An Art Scavenger Hunt, will be one of the many delightful activities ahead. So Tibi, before we get into your art and community building more broadly, can you tell us about your Art Week plans?
Well, so I'm organizing this public art scavenger hunt. Basically, the idea is, what if we can incentivize people in some way to take a fresh look at the public art that's around Des Moines? And maybe they can do it from the comfort of their own homes at the same time. So the idea is pretty basic. We want to give people some clues about some public art from around Des Moines, both old and new, and invite them to submit the location of those. We would provide just some images and they would have to figure out what it is. And they can use any Google Maps, Apple Maps or whatever, or, you know, just snap pictures, you know, on their cell phone if they happen to be nearby. And, you know, they can submit it on a website and we'll have a contest and the person with most correct answers will receive some prizes. The top three would receive some prizes.
And you're primarily doing your work kind of in the downtown Des Moines area for the most part?
We haven't finalized the list. We would like to go beyond the downtown Des Moines area. We'd like to people to find art in other places, not just downtown. But as I said, we haven't finalized the list. So, yeah, stay tuned. I mean, I think they're pretty well adapted for this kind of these times of social distancing and staying at home and not interacting much with other people. Besides, you know, like there is this wonderful tool, the Google Street View, and I think Apple has something similar, but that's what I'm using. And I use it a lot whenever I want to kind of travel virtually to a place or, you know, get a bit of information about a place. I go on Google Street View to look at the surroundings.
I'm sure some people will be doing that. That sounds like a pretty intriguing way to go about all this.
Yeah.
So, folks, you'll want to take the Art Scavenger Hunt that to be setting up. And the Public Art Foundation is helping to support this work. Is that correct?
Yes, we are in talks with them. We are hoping to get some sponsorship from them to pay the artists that would provide the prizes. Plus, you know, the volunteers that would help with scoring all the entries and, you know, determining the final rankings.
Now, you have to help us gain some insights into your work. This PCB drawing series seems to explore how electronic design software can be used to create art. And my understanding is there's some circuit board software used, and yet it kind of harkens back to old-time printmaking. Can you tell us a little bit about how you go about kind of marrying this art and science piece?
Sure. So, yes, PCB, like you said, the PCB stands for printed circuit boards. Basically, every electronic component these days has a printed circuit board inside. It's a way of connecting electronic components inside some technological product. And there are quite a few pieces of software out there that help people design circuit boards. So I'm using one of them that's very popular called Eagle. And I design my own circuit boards. And they're not functional. So, you know, no one would take one of my circuit boards and, you know, put it in a component and make it work. That's not what they are made for. But I do think that they look really nice and beautiful and interesting in their own way. And for me, that was kind of the primary motivation. I knew of this circuit board, and I've used this kind of software to design circuit boards in my career. And I was wondering if I could use the same software that's very utilitarian. That's something that's kind of niche, not that many people know about it unless you're working in this industry. I was wondering if I could use that software to create some art object. And there was another thing here. A lot of the processes used to build circuit boards, sure, they're made in a factory, but they do have strong connections to the old printmaking disciplines such as etching and lithography and silk screen printing. For example, the copper, you know, that provides the connections between components.
Yeah.
That one is etched. You know, initially the circuit board comes covered in copper all the way. And then you kind of etch away, you remove the copper that you don't need to leave the traces. You know, information on the circuit board, the IDs, you know, the name of the components and all that, they are screen printed on top of the component. So there are these connections between, you know, something that looks very new, very of today, the electronic design and, you know, traditional printmaking. So that was another aspect that interested me, you know, how to marry them.
Well, I'm probably just being kind of stupid here, but the part I don't get is, to me, circuit board, I think diagram, and yet then you're etching this. Where does all the color and the beauty of these things come from? Is that coming out of computer, or are you doing some layering of your own inking on top, or what?
No, I just designed them on the computer, but, you know, like, designing them on the computer just produces a computer model. And this computer model,
I send
to a factory and, you know, pay them to manufacture the circuit board for me.
Oh, I get it now. I get it now.
And I usually make them in a limited edition, which is another point of comparison or kind of a connection to traditional printmaking, because you have limited edition in traditional printmaking.
Tibby goes on to explain how he sends in his circuit boards to the manufacturer with parameters. For example, he can designate colors that come from the plastics used to prevent short circuits, or he can provide definition through specifying the soldering materials, such as gold or silver. So after he walked me through this process of producing circuit boards as art objects, I felt compelled to ask, was he more engineer or artist?
Well, if you go by what pays the bills, I guess engineer, but I guess I'm a bit of both.
What's in your heart?
Well, ideally, if I could make it work, I'd like to become a full-time artist. So I'm kind of working towards that.
Let's go through one more real quick.
Yeah.
You've got these circuit floor plans.
All right.
And if I understand correctly, you are trying to train an AI system to draw in your style using these circuit floor plans?
Yeah. So the circuit floor plans is a series of drawings that I started about 2.5 years ago, something like that. Three years ago. And yeah, they're inspired by symbols in electronic design. I kind of find those symbols interesting and, you know, like I enjoy making this series of drawings. But I've made over 230 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I still enjoy making them. And I find new ways of doing them. But I'm also interested in the possibilities of artificial intelligence. And in particular, I'm interested in whether we can use this artificial intelligence systems to collaborate with us artists. You know, there are all these fears and, you know, like, oh yeah, AI is going to take over our jobs, and the artists are saying, no, they're not going to take our job with creativity. But I'm kind of wondering if there's a different way to relate to the AI, whether it can become a true collaborator.
Oh, so talk about community building. This is sort of an interesting community. You're talking about the artist collaborating with artificial intelligence. Is that what I just heard?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to use them as tools. You know, there are people that kind of use the AI to create new images. But, you know, it's kind of like a tool, like Photoshop or something like that. I'm not interested in that. So what I'm doing now, there are these methods in AI where you can train an artificial intelligence system using a so-called image data set. And in this case, the image data set is my drawings. So the system can learn the style of the data set, the style of my drawings, and then can create new works in that style, or at least that's the promise for me. I'm not quite there yet. I've had some good partial results, but I'm still pretty far away from, achieving exactly what I want with this. Yeah, so I mean, that would be the idea, you know, like eventually if everything goes well, ideally, I would show the drawings created by the AI with my drawings side by side, and it would be maybe impossible to tell which one is which. Yeah, you know, that's the dream.
That's a dream. Yeah, yeah. I saw a little video that you'd produced. I recognized though some of your drawings coming through there. It wasn't quite there yet, like you're talking about, but I could see it starting to come through. This is really kind of fascinating because you're really working at a very interesting intersection between arts and engineering, probably a fairly rare intersection to be working in. Do you have a community of others who join you in working in that intersection? Or are you kind of going this almost completely alone? Or how does your community work? Is it half art, half engineering, predominantly one or the other?
I think it's kind of half art, half engineering. And they kind of don't touch. Yeah, I do have artist friends, and, you know, it's good to talk to them and hang out with them and talk about our project. And, you know, on some level, I think I'm able to explain this project in a way that non-technical people understand. So, yes, they can give me feedback on art and all that. And, you know, you should keep in mind that I'm not doing only computer programming. I'm doing a lot of drawings and pencil and ink and all that. But I do have this other side, which is technical people. I belong to some groups online where we meet regularly to discuss machine learning, artificial intelligence methods.
Well, let me ask you this. We often think of the arts community as one of creative thinkers and the engineering community as one of more linear thinkers.
Right.
Kind of what's fair and unfair about that assessment, and what's the good that could come when these two worlds collide? I didn't say this was going to be easy.
No. I mean, I don't know if the engineers are necessarily linear thinkers, and I think there are lots of parallels in between the what an artist does and what an engineer does. You know, there is this idea about engineering that you kind of have to make something work with under a lot of constraints. You know, like, for example, sure, you would like to stream video at high quality, but then, you know, the constraint is the bandwidth of the internet connection and all those things. So engineers have to find an optimal solution or a good solution under a lot of constraints, but so do artists. So do artists have to find a way to implement their vision, whatever that may be, drawing, sculptures, installations, whatnot. There are lots of constraints that they also have to deal with. So to me, I think the engineering world and the artist world are much closer than most people think. And it's, for example, in my practice, the skills that I have as an engineer, as a software engineer, I think they transfer a lot to my drawings. You know, for example, I work a lot in series where I take an idea and I try different things. That's a very engineering way of doing it. But, you know, I'm not the only artist that does that. Obviously, I can transfer some of my engineering knowledge to the drawings and the circuit boards and whatnot. So to me, engineering and art are not very, very distinct. And there are lots of crossover points in between them.
So there's some level of overlap or at least empathy between the two worlds. And so not necessarily certain quite how we bring them together, but they're closer together already than we know.
All right. I think so.
So before we close here, I want a reminder from you about the Art Week activities. And I want to make, but before we even get there, I kind of want to reference back to just one thing.
Yep.
I just want to say that on that PCB drawing number 51, you use a lot of numbers in your drawing titles, by the way. Is that because you're an engineer?
I think so. But as I said, it's more like related to the fact that I work in series, and it's a drawing which happens to be the number, the 51st in the series. Not much.
Yeah. Well, it made me feel like I was walking into an Art Deco theater. And I found that fascinating that something produced in the way that it was, that it's actually, and now I even understand it better, it's actually a circuit board.
Right.
Without a function other than to be this wonderful artistic piece, that it harkens me back to that kind of time and framework I found fascinating. What are you hoping people draw from your work? What are you hoping they get from it?
Well, I can start by telling you what other people have seen first. I don't know. And then, you know, I'll get to what I hope. So a lot of people are struck by the quantity and the style of presentation. Whenever I show my work, or a lot of times when I show my work, I show large parts of this series, which, you know, kind of take an entire wall in a grid. And lots of people really love that one and the variation in each piece, you know, like the parameters of the series are usually constant, you know, like the size, the materials that I use, but they really like the variation in each piece under these constraints, under these parameters. And, you know, I like that. But for me, I'm also interested in to kind of show people how, you know, the use of new materials in art, like these circuit boards. As far as I'm aware, there are no other people that use circuit board design and create circuit boards exclusively for art.
Yeah.
And I'm also interested in exploring these connections between old and new and looking at how the some things that we consider, you know, very new and modern kind of have roots in the old. Again, coming back to these circuit boards, they contain a lot of printmaking processes in there, which is considered old-fashioned in some way.
Well, and maybe that's why your Art Week activity is a scavenger hunt. You need a little bit of modern art mixed in with the good old-fashioned. Let's go around and see what we can see, huh?
Right, I hope so.
And so I want to remind people about the Art Scavenger Hunt coming up for part of Art Week. And an additional note that as part of Art Week, this podcast, along with Mainframe Studios, Polk County Conservation, and the Great Outdoors Foundation, will be supporting Art Adventure, an event a little similar to Tibby's plans for the Des Moines Art Scavenger Hunt. This activity will take you to parks outside of Des Moines, further reaches of central Iowa, in search of art treasures. Some of those art treasures are permanently on display in parks throughout central Iowa, and a handful are being created by Mainframe artist Ryan Tepete. His works will be treasures available for finding and keeping on a first-come, first-served basis. But once you find one and take it, go find the others, but leave for others to take. Now, check the Polk County Conservation website and or Art Week postings for more information. That's artweekdesmoines.com, and you'll also find out more information about the scavenger hunt that Tibby's planning. I would like to thank, as always, Mainframe founder Justin Mandelbaum, executive director Siobhan Spain, my collaborator, the talented Alex Cooney, and our guest today, Tibby Kelchia. You can find Tibby's work on Instagram at TIBICH72 and at tibbykelchia.net, and that's TIBICHELCEA.net. Finally, a shout out to Rachel Boozy of Art Week and the folks at Polk County Conservation and the Great Outdoors Foundation. Be sure to enjoy an art adventure and the scavenger hunt June 19th through the 26th. Let's make Art Week better than ever. It's something we can do to keep our spirits up during these unusual times. I'm Pat Bodie. Thanks for listening to 900 Views.